Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Jimmy Davies, and I would like to welcome you to the Every Black Entrepreneur Show on the Truth Network. And as always, we're glad you can join us tonight, and we're excited. We really have a special guest speaker tonight. We're looking forward to hearing from her, and along with the other information that we have to share with you. But first of all, let me introduce my co-host, Latasha Descatty. Latasha, can you... First of all, good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to everyone for joining us tonight, and we're just excited about what we have for you.
Yeah. Could you tell everyone about yourself, please?
Sure. So I am a business counselor with the Small Business and Technology Development Center. I've been working with entrepreneurs for about the last 20 years. And what I do is work with them to help grow and expand their business. And then in doing that, I have started several of my own personal business ventures and continue to do what I call training and growing the next generation of entrepreneurs by supporting my two children in their business ventures. And so I'm always excited about the work that I can do to help other entrepreneurs grow and expand. So, Jimmy, can you share with us about your background and the work that you've done with all of the Every Black family of websites?
Sure thing. Yeah, I've been in the computer field for quite a while. Next year it'll be 30 years, teaching people how to use software and working as a database developer. But a couple of years ago I decided I really wanted to do something that I really cared about versus working for other companies or with other companies. So I created the Every Black series of websites, and what they are, it's using technology to help small businesses get the word out about whatever it is that they're doing. And we do that by, first of all, we list them on our website, everyblackentrepreneur.com, and we also send out a weekly email blast to let people know what's going on, and we especially highlight our new members. Last week we had the honor and privilege of announcing Kim Vaughn, the well-known comedian. Her slogan is the glamour girl of comedy. We were glad to have her come aboard. And the other thing we do is we constantly push information out about our members on social media, and then we also create a monthly directory listing all of our members and how to get in touch with them. So that's basically what Every Black is about. But this particular show is we wanted to make it a guide for anyone starting their business or maybe they're already in business to help them to learn how to better manage their business or better, I guess, really increase the bottom line. So, again, whether you're beginning or starting a business or if you've been there a while, I think we have something for almost everyone that we have something to offer for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's so key. And then the one thing that we're also doing with the radio show is providing some level of education and resources. So one of the things that I like that we do is the book discussion on Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice by Dennis Kimbrough and Napoleon Hill. And so what we're also trying to do is expand the entrepreneur mind and to expand anyone that is even in the process of thinking about starting and expanding their business. So just excited about what we've been able to do and what we're continuing to do with the show and what's coming down the pipeline.
Right. And what we actually did, last week we had a guest speaker, Sherry Taylor, and she spoke about how to get an A in entrepreneurship. I thought that was a really good topic, the do's and don'ts of how to be a good entrepreneur. And but tonight, we're going to be talking about pricing your product or service, and then we're going to continue to have our book discussion. And then the other thing is we've got a guest speaker. Her name is it's Tracy Scormay. I was looking for the last name here. But Tracy Scormay is going to be.
Yep, Tracy Scott is her name. And she's the owner and operator of Tracy Scormay. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, I was just reading up on it. I think what she's doing is good stuff. But also, I want to give a shout out to Bishop Michael Bates because a few days ago was his birthday. So I just want to say happy belated birthday from the Every Black Entrepreneur Show to Bishop Bates, who is the owner of the Truth Network, the radio network that we're all on. So, but anyway,
yes, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. I think we got Latasha a few weeks ago. but anyway, what we do is we always take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll start into the topics for the evening.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Davies, and I'm the owner of the Every.Black family of websites. After nearly 30 years of computer experience, I spent over 2 years developing a series of websites that helps African Americans become successful in the information age, in their businesses, and in their careers. We support our members by highlighting them in a weekly email announcement. We create a monthly directory where every member has a full page display. And this directory is available on any of our websites as a free download. One of the largest advantages of joining the Every.Black family is the ability to network with all of the other members. Members are doing business with one another every day. It's only $99.99 a year or $9.99 a month. You can't beat the price. On top of that, we have also partnered with the Truth Network to provide a 10% discount for anyone joining and using the discount code of TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, when signing up. On top of that, we are also donating an additional 10% to a nonprofit. For less than $10 a month or $100 a year, it's an absolute no-brainer. To see all of our websites, go to every.black and click on the Join button. That's every.black. Or if you're an entrepreneur, go to everyblackentrepreneur.com. Click on the sign up button and join today. You can reach us at 919-265-8045. That's 919-265-8045. Or email me at Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at every, E-V-E-R-Y, dot black, B-L-A-C-K. We hope to hear from you soon. Sign up today and become a part of the Every.Black family of websites.
Well, we want to welcome you back to the Every Black Entrepreneur Show, and just once again, just reiterating the fact that we thank you for joining us each week, and we want to hear from you. So please make sure you email us, tell us, ask us any of your questions, but definitely we want to hear feedback from you. So, Jimmy, can you give us a recap of what we talked about last week, and then we can get into our tonight show.
Yeah, actually, and to be honest with you, I don't have all of the things that Sherry talked about, but we had our guest speaker, Sherry Taylor, with On Point Partners, their commercial realtor. And I know Sherry also was really a lifelong entrepreneur. Her parents were entrepreneurs, and I think that's really important to mention because she grew up in a household, I think, I don't know if she mentioned last week, but I know her parents had cleaners, had seven different cleaners locations. She says they were the real-life Jeffersons. And she said that she grew up as an entrepreneur, and later on in life, she actually is an entrepreneur now. And so she also takes her children with her every place she goes for business meetings, and they are thinking that way, even though they're young. The daughter was talking about organizing her school kids to start a business. And one of the things that she did mention that really stuck with me is that she said, you don't get an A if you don't make time for your family in your business. And I think that's really important because I've seen it done, and I've been guilty of that too, where you really have to make time for your family and run your business. So, like I said, that's a real – I don't remember all the topics that she covered, but we do have the – you can go to our website, every.black, and we'll be able to listen to all of our previous recordings there.
Yeah, I think that's really key. And, I mean, the 8 steps that she gave of how to get an A in entrepreneurship, the one thing that kind of resonated with me was just maintaining healthy living and lifestyle for yourself. And I think hopefully you'll be able to hear some of that from Tracy Scott's story tonight and be able to know that, once again, you have to do that, and you have to take care of yourself in addition to maintaining the relationships with your family. So those are some really key steps of how to get an A in entrepreneurship. So, and then from our book reading in Think and Grow Rich last week, we were finishing up Chapter 5 on just persistence, and so just kind of talking about that. So 4 was around faith, but 5 was just how to continue to be persistent. So I think that's really key. And so I think it's just really good. I mean, and as an entrepreneur, you have to know not only how to continue, but how to stand even when there may be a financial loss in the business, but you've got to continue, and there may be some pivoting or shifting that you have to do in order to get the business to profitability or even for the business to operate as it should. So it's just really key, and I think that's really valuable for it. So, but tonight what we want to talk about is pricing and how to really make sure you're pricing your product or your service accurately. And so that's what we'll talk about tonight and then go into Chapter 6 of the Think and Grow Rich. Do you want to go ahead and get in? Want me to go ahead and get into the pricing?
Sure.
So there were a couple things I want to share that we didn't share last week, but I just wanted to kind of bring it up. And so first and foremost, each year there is Minority Enterprise Development Week, what we call MED Week activities that happen across the country, which is where we honor and celebrate minority-owned businesses throughout. And so that happens typically in the month of October. Various events happen throughout the country in the month of October. And so in Durham, we had some of our midweek activities. So just want to, first and foremost, before we get started on the pricing, is to say to all the current and minority owned and operated businesses that we honor and celebrate that. And then the second thing is, as I talk about pricing, is understanding what the industry sector is and understanding one of the things that you talked about during selling is understanding that process. And then in understanding that, you got to know how to price your product. And so pricing your product or your service, and I'm going to separate those out because I think that's really key. So some business owners have a particular product that they are selling. And so you would either determine how much it takes to make that product or get that product, and then what profit margin, and then any overhead or any cost of goods for that product. And one of the things that I see entrepreneurs that don't include in their pricing structure just because they're trying to be competitive is the cost of their time, involved and engaged in the business. And so I want to just, you know, say to entrepreneurs that when you're thinking about determining the price of your product or service, also think about the time that you're spending involved in that business, because that's something that's really key. The other thing that goes that's really key is looking at what your competitors are doing. And so typically a lot of people just want to undercut the market. So, for example, what I mean by undercutting the market is if your competitor is charging $30 for a particular product or service, then you want to come in and charge $15. And typically there is a reason why they're charging that $30, because they know how they receive and calculated the price of the product, including a profit margin in there, including the cost of goods sold, and being able to include that time. So don't be so anxious to sell the product or that service that you're not able to really put an adequate pricing. You don't want to be too high. So a lot of some people are overpricing. So it's pricing is one of those things where you've got to look at the supply and demand of what you have. You got to really evaluate the market so that you're very clear about what pricing the market will bear. I was doing a training last week, and we were laughing because there was a couple years ago, I think, where people were reselling these lava rocks, they were kind of considering them as pet rocks. And so now, of course, that is a fad, and nobody is purchasing that. So you got to also think about, is this product or service a lifestyle-type product or service or business, or is this something that has longevity and sustainability? Because if you think about, even if you think about in the technology or the cellular world, there used to be where we had beepers and pagers, and so they were, if you remember those.
Yeah.
And so they were priced pretty, at a good price point, but of course now that's obsolete. So, like my kids don't even know what a beeper or pager is. So we got to think about that and think about, can this product and service really sustain through longevity of it? So there are a couple of formulas that we can use, and I'll make sure that all of that information is on the website. But first is you've got to determine your break-even point. And break-even point is the point that it costs you to make that product or the point it costs you to provide the service. So I want to give in some examples around service, just because if you're in the consulting industry, if you're in any kind of professional services, sometimes that can be difficult in determining your pricing. And sometimes people, once again, want to definitely either overprice their service or underprice your service. And so you've got to think about what are you providing, what's the quality that they're getting out of it, and then from that point, then you want to be able to ensure that they are that you're able to make a profit, or at least know what's the plan to get to profitability. Because that's the other side of it, is we want to make sure that you're in business, but you have to include a profit margin for that. And I see that so much sometimes on the construction industry side as well. They will not include the cost of any parts. And, you know, it's only the labor, but you got to think about the parts that are included. Or you only include the cost of the parts, but may not include all of your labor costs. I can see that happening also on the auto mechanic and auto service repair industry. So there are several industry sectors where that definitely does happen, and so we want to make sure that that is, as an entrepreneur, that you're thinking about that in terms of your pricing. And you want to know what your competitors are doing in terms of it, so that you can make sure that you don't price yourself out. Because if you're going too high, then you, of course, your customers are going to go to the competitors. So you want to just kind of know what is happening. So you've got to do some homework, and you're going to have to really understand the marketplace. So those are some key tips in reference to pricing your product and service. And so, once again, all of this information will be on the website. But just to kind of quickly recap, and then, Jimmy, if there's anything that you want to add, I'm going to leave some room for you to do that in reference to it, and then so we can get to our guests. But first and foremost, just remember, when you're thinking about pricing your product and service, you want to do the research. You want to know what your competitors are doing. Second, you want to know how much it costs you. So you want to make sure you know all that goes into your cost so that you can price it adequately. And then third, you want to know what's the trend that is happening within your industry sector. Is it staying the same? Is it growing? Is it something that you'll be able to have some sustainability in, and then being able to kind of move from there? And then you want to definitely make sure that you don't price yourself out of the market. So you don't want to price your products and services too high, but you definitely don't want to undervalue yourself and undervalue whether it is a service or a product that you're providing to the marketplace. So those are just some really key tips. And then from an accounting perspective, I mean, I'm a numbers person, so I would definitely say you want to be able to put that, even if it's in an Excel spreadsheet, so you can see, okay, it's costing me X dollars to either provide this service, and service, remember, you got to include time. You got to make sure you're including your time. You got to make sure that you're accounting for all that goes into that business, so that you are not undervaluing the work that you're doing. So I'm going to pause for a second, and Jimmy, if you want to add some additional comments around pricing your product or service for your business.
Yeah, just a few things, a few comments, I guess, but I thought, you know, great job as usual. But one thing you said, if your prices may be a little higher than the competitors, one thing I would urge people to do too is emphasize the quality. Maybe, you know, what makes me think of that is years ago I sold Apple computers, and their Apple computers always cost more than PCs. But we really stressed the quality. We stressed, you know, you don't need virus protection, that type of thing. So that may help. You just want to make sure that the customer understands why, you know, maybe you have a premium product, that type of thing. And the other thing is that, like I say, yeah, you have to stay current. Because things change, and you mentioned beepers, and especially in the tech fields, things change really fast. And it just reminds me of a guy, literally about a month ago, he told me that his son saw a rotary phone where you put your finger in the dial and turn. And his son asked him, what was that? And he told him that it was a phone. And he couldn't get his son to believe that, that was actually a telephone. So anyway, that just reminded me of that story that that I heard a guy tell me about a couple months ago. He said that his son found a rotary phone and didn't know what it was. So, but no, great job.
All right. So we want to take a short break, and then we come back and introduce our guest speaker, Tracy. Or do we want to come back and
Because of the time, let's go ahead and introduce Tracy. And who knows, if we have time, she might want to chime in on the book discussion. But let's make sure we make time for her, and we'll see if we can get back to the book discussion after that. If we have time, now we can always pick up next week. But let's take a short break at this time, and then bring on our guest speaker.
All right, we'll take a short break. Entrepreneurship show, and I'm excited about our guest speaker. Her name is Tracy Scott, and she is the owner and founder of Tracy's Gourmet LLC. And I'll read just a snippet of her bio, but just wanted to let you know a little bit about her. And so in 2005, Tracy discovered that she weighed 257 pounds, and with this knowledge and a family history of heart disease, she realized that no one was going to change her situation for her, so she had to do it herself. This led to her journey of finding a better way to eat and changing her lifestyle. Eight years later, much healthier, and with years of study in healthy food preparation and eating habits, Tracy decided to help others transition to healthier lifestyles by launching her own gourmet specialty food line. She, which includes her organic and natural salad dressing, her product caters to those who want to eat healthier but not sacrifice great tasting food. So at this time, I'm going to welcome Tracy to the show. Hello, Tracy. Are you still there?
I am. How are you, Latasha? Hello, Mr. Davies.
Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the Every Black Entrepreneur Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Tracy, want to just start, since we was talking about pricing, so can you talk to us, one, about your product, your current product lines, and then just share maybe one thing that you've learned in terms of pricing, and then share anything else that you want our listeners to know about your business.
Okay. So we have three flavors of our natural and organic salad dressing and marinades. The first is the Luscious Lavender. The second is Aloha Kick. And the third is called Delightful. Two of them are made with grapeseed oil. One is made with organic coconut oil. And I chose those oils because they are high-quality oils, very high in omega-3s, and very low in the LDL or lousy cholesterol levels. And part of the reason for me doing that is because I based all of these flavors and foods on my health, not to be self-centered, but at the time I was really focused on how can I live out this healthy lifestyle for a lifetime, because everyone kept telling me this is a lifestyle change and this is going to be the new way of life. And after maybe a month of eating baked chicken and broccoli, I realized I couldn't do this for a lifetime. So I had to get creative if I was going to do this for a lifetime, and that's why the flavors are, I think, very creative and unique. I've been given that title by several people. But we have additional products in the product line. I started with the salad dressings because I knew they would be the most difficult to sell. And I said, if I could sell salad dressings and if I could get this product out to the market, I can get the rest out. We actually have 7 in our product line, and we have our second item coming out this weekend, which will be our packaged salads, prepackaged salads. And they're totally different, made with an ingredient that no one else is using in the country. So I did my research, as Latasha has reminded me to do, and I'm really looking forward to this. It's something that I really started with, but I changed it because of the research, because of the market, and really looking at where the food industry is going, in particular the gourmet and specialty food industry. So because my product is, it kind of falls in that specialty foods area, pricing was critical for me because of our ingredients. The ingredients can be pricey, but the way I'm purchasing them and using local, my suppliers have been very flexible, and that's something that has helped me with my pricing structure. I've negotiated some really good wholesale prices with my suppliers, and part of that is because I work in partnership with some of my suppliers. So when I'm doing trade shows, when I'm talking about the product and I'm talking about my ingredients, I always try to make sure that I mention my suppliers or I mention someone that I'm working with. And that has helped me quite a bit, especially working with a lot of the local farmers. It's very beneficial to partner, and I have to say that has been one of the keys for me growing and building. It's being in partnership with other companies and just other food producers as well. I learned that pricing for me was going to make or break me very early. I was part of a business mentorship during the first year of this business in 2014, and it was during that business mentorship I saw how expensive my mistakes could be if I did not price my product appropriately. I was reminded to never leave money on the table, and I didn't really understand that. But when I sat down with one of the business counselors, and they told me the first thing you need to price is your time. Just like Latasha said, if I don't price my time, I'm basically giving my product away for free, because my time in my business can actually be more valuable than the product. What this particular business counselor had me do was a formulation, which I have written down, but she said, looking at your title as CEO and then looking at what you are worth per hour, you have to factor that in to the price of your product. So that's how I came up with the price for my product. Part of that also has to do with the fact that we are manufacturing this product ourselves. It is considered an artisan or a handmade gourmet product. So we are doing all of the production. We're not using big machines. We're not using a manufacturer. However, which I didn't quite understand how this worked, once we do transition over to using a manufacturer, the volume factor comes in. So what the manufacturers can do in 2 hours is what we do in 2 days. The whole Walmart issue comes into play. The volume goes up, the price comes down. So eventually our price will come down, but then that will increase our revenue. So, again, learning pricing early on, it's helped me.
Excellent, and thank you for sharing. one of the things that we didn't talk about in your bio is that, you know, you have won some awards. So in 2016, you were the second place winner of the South Atlantic region pitch challenge for small business. And then in 2015, the Wells Fargo Works for Small Business contest finalist. And then in 2013, the Urban Rebound Women Entrepreneur Competition winner. Can you share how that has definitely helped you continue to grow the business and market the business?
Yes. Those events really changed my marketing strategy. Because what I didn't realize is that that type of exposure, it forced me to think bigger. I was able to meet some women who were already grossing 6 and 7 figures annually in their business. And this was in 2013 when I won the business pitch event, the Urban Rebound event. And I was just this small person who had an idea, who had a dream, and just wanted to get information. And they put me in a room with 50 women, 80% of them grossing 6 and 7 figures in annual revenue. And that was just mind-boggling to me because I still had my day job and, you know, kind of, sort of, slightly still have a day job that I'm transitioning out of. But, you know, I was like a sponge. So these events gave me exposure. They changed how I market my business and how I market myself as an entrepreneur. But it also showed me that working with people and connecting with people who are really ahead of me is critical. I have to stay connected to people who are on a different level ahead of me because it's encouraging. It's very motivating. The UPS Export Challenge event was that was very shocking for me because people came in already exporting. They came in already grossing 7 figures, and it allowed me to see what I need to do and the amount of work I need to do. So I encourage anyone to look at the events, look at the accelerators that are out here, and go for it. Even if you don't win, it's just the exposure and the feedback from the people who are hosting these events that can be very beneficial.
Right.
Jimmy, you have any questions for Tracy?
Yeah, a couple of comments and questions too. But just listening to you speak, Tracy, a couple of things come to mind that are common with we hear over and over with successful entrepreneurs. And one is partnerships, where you said that, you know, you making these networks and connections and networking, and also that you did your research. I think when we had Joy also on about a month ago or so, she was the same thing, spent a lot of time doing research, so I really applaud you. But I wanted to ask, too, I think it's, I mean, really great you said that you were at 257 pounds and you decided to do something about it. I think that's great. But then to actually form a business and helping other people now, so did you have other previous business experience, or is this just something you just decided you wanted to do? What you know, you want to help your own, improve your own health, and then, have you tried other businesses in the past, or is this? I think it's great. I just wonder, you know, Tracy, are you there?
Thank you. I am.
Okay.
I didn't want to cut you off.
Okay.
No, I didn't want to cut you off. Thank you, Mr. Davies. So I didn't realize how influential the work I saw my father do was on me. My father was a computer programmer for MetLife in Manhattan. I was born in Brooklyn, and he and my mother decided to move back down south, and so he was transferred to South Carolina to the MetLife office there. And a few years in, he decided to go into business with my grandmother, who owned a nightclub in South Carolina. And he left his position of 17 years with MetLife. My mother wasn't happy about it, to run a nightclub. And for 6 years, I watched my father build this nightclub. I saw him purchase property, and because I was his little sidekick, you know, I was in middle school and high school at the time, and you know, I was with him on Saturdays, and we would get up at 6 in the morning, 7 o'clock we were out the door, we were buying all the supplies, we were then going to the facility. You know, he was, you know, working with people, telling people what to do. And I saw that. I watched that for 6-7 years. And so that, I didn't realize how impactful that was, because as I've been building this business, so many of the things I saw my dad do and saw my dad say have been coming back, you know, things to do in terms of the money and where to put the money and how to, you know, make the money, make money. I mean, a lot of those things came back to me. And, you know, I get that question a lot. Have you ever started a business? This was my first business, but I saw my father work and build a business for 6 years as a kid. And so I say that to say, whatever we're doing, other people are watching, and they're going to learn from us. And it may not be something they use immediately, but it will come back. I have 8 nieces. And one of my nieces, she's worked with me at some farmers markets, and she's very, very interested in starting her business, and she's only 12. So it's exciting to see how what I'm doing is influencing her, because it's what my dad influenced me as well. In terms of the weight, my father passed in 2005 of a heart attack, and I found out that he had undiagnosed high blood pressure. And the only reason I went to the doctor is because I wanted to have my blood pressure checked. I didn't go to see how much I weighed, but that's always the first thing they do. They put you on a scale. And I thought the number was wrong, because in my head I didn't think someone who weighed 250 pounds looked like me. I thought they were bigger. So it was a wake-up call. My father's passing was a wake-up call for me to look at my own health. And my father was actually an avid runner. He was very fit. He had maybe 20% body fat. He ran 4 days a week, but he had undiagnosed high blood pressure, and he didn't know. And so that was something that I realized, you know, I have to keep a better eye on. And so losing the weight and then building the business was really part of me saving my life. And I know there are other people who, you know, we don't oftentimes get those numbers checked. We don't oftentimes go and have the weight looked at. And for me, it's been beneficial, but I do know from things other people have told me, it's something they've started looking at. But again, it wasn't something I initially, you know, I didn't start the business to become a health nut. It was something that it really saved my life.
Right. And where are your dressings sold? Like, are they in local stores, or did they order them from you? Or how can people get your dressings and your other
products? You can order the salad dressings on our website, tracysgourmet.com. But we're carried in 20 stores now here in North Carolina right now. We're in 7 Whole Foods Market stores in North Carolina. And some of the local stores, the Butcher's Market, Savory Spice Shop, LL Urban Farm. I have a list. I can't remember all of them right now, but it's a total of 20 stores here in North Carolina.
That's great.
Good. Thank you. Go ahead, Jimmy. I think you've got some more comments and questions.
I was just going to say one last question. Like, your typical customer, have you kind of scoped out who's buying your dressing or your products, or have you had a chance to do that? You know, like have you specified, have you zeroed in on the customer that really wants this, your products?
I have. When I made the salad dressings, what I didn't realize is I was making a product that was vegan friendly, gluten-free. Mm-hmm. You know, my goal was to take out everything that was a filler, everything that I was either allergic to or that caused food cravings, especially took out the sugar. For me, that was a big, big goal to make this taste good without sugar, because there are so many products on the market that are fillers. And I get it. I know why companies do it. You know, it's a business. But for people who have food allergies and food sensitivities, there are certain ingredients you can't eat. And sometimes you have to sacrifice flavor and taste because something can make you sick. Because my product is gluten-free, I've been working very closely with some of the local hospitals in our area, one of them being Wake Med. And Wake Med has a group, it's called Celiac Support, which celiac disease is basically for someone who is gluten-free. And working with that organization has helped me to expand my consumer base. My consumers love fresh, love natural, and I found my consumer or my customer base at farmers markets because I like to know where my food comes from. So anyone who shops at a farmers market, anyone that prefers to cook versus going out to fast food restaurants, a lot of my consumers are people who shop at Whole Foods or people who shop at stores like Sprouts, people who you will find shopping in the organic natural aisle of grocery stores like Publix or Kroger. Age range, it's changed. And a part of that is because eating natural and organic isn't as expensive as it used to be 5 years ago. That price has come down because there's so much competition in the market now. There are more stores carrying natural and organic. A lot of the major stores now have their own line of natural and organic. So my consumer base is actually growing because there's such a need and a desire, and the prices come down on the higher quality natural and organic foods.
That's great.
So, Tracy, one of the other things that I noticed is that you are a member of the Goodness Grows in North Carolina program and a member of the North Carolina Specialty Foods Association. And I know that with food and food products that it does come with a lot more regulatory things that you have to abide by. And what were some of the hurdles that you had to overcome by producing a food? You're producing it in North Carolina, and as you mentioned earlier, you're doing it all by hand and not through a co-packer currently. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I had to do was become a ServSafe certified, which it's industry certification in the food industry, food, hotel, restaurant industry. Most people who work in a restaurant have that certification, but it's in particular anyone who is a supervisor or manager. So any food owner or food producer has to become ServSafe certified. To manufacture in a shared-use facility or production facility, you also have to be available for inspections. So we have annual inspections, and what that means is someone from the Department of Agriculture will come in, they will inspect your process, they will follow you and see what you're doing, how you're doing. You need to be aware of foodborne allergens. You need to be aware of all of the requirements for food safety. Now with the they're trying to become more inclusive of those rules and expanding that into OSHA as well as Homeland Security. Food is now being heavily monitored, so people working with food are now a little more scrutinized. So the facility that I'm working out of now, they do surprise inspections. My previous facility, it was scheduled. So we still have the annual, but now we have surprise inspections. And that's, I mean, if you've been doing it for a while and if you know, you're doing what's right, it's not a big deal. But, yes, so there are some challenges with producing it yourself, and it depends on your product. If you have an acid food, which means you have a certain pH level, then there are certain restrictions or certain things you don't have to do. My product cannot be made out of my home, but I'm being told that might be changing if it hits a certain pH level. But because my product's in Whole Foods, I can't produce out of my home. To be in Whole Foods, they have certain regulations. It's pretty strenuous, and this is something they do every quarter to make sure, you know, you are producing appropriately. They have a very stringent vetting system that you have to go through just to have a product in their store. But those are the things that you have to know and kind of do to produce a product. If I go to a co-packer, I won't have to worry about that, which is nice, but, you know, there's always that give and take.
Sounds good. Jimmy, I'm defer to you on any additional questions that you may have.
Well, I just want to say, I think, Tracy, you said that when you met with those women, 50 women, that they were motivating. Well, I think your story is very motivating to some folks out there, to me. And I think some people out there can learn from this. And the other thing is that you said that you followed your father around and learned. And Natasha, she's working with her children. And Sherry learned from her parents and working with her children. Sherry Taylor, she's our guest speaker last week. So, I mean, if that doesn't make people understand the importance of including your children, you know, in your businesses, whatever it is, first of all, it's giving you quality time with your kids. But then the other thing is that they're learning, even when you don't think they are. They are learning. So I just think that's great with all of you are doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's great, too. And, I mean, Tracy, I definitely thank you for sharing your story and your journey, because not only did you change and transform, you know, your health, but you also are doing it for others. And I know you've got some great things that are coming out next down the pipeline, and you're going to expand your gourmet product line beyond just the dressing. But and I know you talked just briefly in reference to, you know, what the requirements were for Whole Foods. And so I just want you to share with us again how people can find you, all of your website, your social media, and then if you have any upcoming vending opportunities where you'll be, they can maybe find you as well.
Yes, so we are actually going to be at an event this Saturday in North Raleigh. It's a Parade of Homes event. They are going to host a open house for a new property, and they want to set it up, or they are setting it up as an open-air farmer's market specialty store. So we will be there Saturday. It's off of Falls of Noose Road, and we will be there from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and my apologies, I don't have the address. But if you email me, I'll be happy to tell you where we will be. We are carried in the Wilmington Whole Foods store, Charlotte at the South Park store, the Huntersville store. We are in Greensboro. We are in Winston-Salem High Point. We are in North Raleigh. We are downtown Raleigh. We are soon to be in the Morrisville, North Carolina Whole Foods store, the newest Whole Foods store in the Triangle, and several other stores in North Raleigh, the Butcher's Market, Savory Spice Shop in Cary and North Raleigh, in Holly Springs at the LL Urban Farm. And we're in multiple locations for some of these stores, which is how we ended up hitting the number of 20. We do have an Instagram page, Fun Salads, and a Facebook page. It's also called Tracy's Gourmet, and we have a Pinterest page, Tracy's Gourmet. And then the website is tracysgourmet.com.
Tracy, can you share your email address so if anybody wants to reach you? Thank you.
And phone number.
Oh, sure. It's info at tracysgourmet.com, info at tracysgourmet, T-R-A-C-Y-S, gourmet.com. And my phone number is 919 672-1731.
Okay. Well, great. We're almost out of time again, but we're going to take a short break at this time. And Tracy, don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back after to kind of wrap up for the evening.
Okay.
Hi, this is Bishop Michael Begg Sr., the Business Bishop, CEO of Truth Radio and Television Network. We're a streaming broadcast station bringing tools to take you to the next level with mission-driven messages, best in entertainment, advice, resources from some of the most influential businesses, ministries, and relationships, as well as personal development leaders in the world. Inspiring everyday people with a true passion for love, life, business, and what they do best. If you'd like to take what you do to the next level, your exposure is based upon your expansion. Your expansion is based upon your exposure. What we'd like to do is to help you get to the next level. If you'd like to partner with us, if you've enjoyed the program that you're now listening to, give us a call at 818-280-8198. 818-280-8198. If you have something that you'd like to share with the world, give me a call, 818-280-8198. Remember, truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Well, welcome back to the Every Black Entrepreneur Show. And we just finished a great interview with Tracy Scott, the owner and operator of Tracy's Gourmet, which has a initial product line of gluten-free, organic, and vegan dressings. And we earlier talked about pricing your product or your service. So, Jimmy, as always, the time goes by extremely fast. So
yeah.
We are only a few minutes, but I will defer to you and any lasting comments or questions
I just going to tell people we will be doing our book discussion next week, Think and Grow Rich by Dr. Dennis Kimbrough and Napoleon Hill. So if you haven't got it, get it. We're on chapter 6. And chapter 6 actually ties in with some of the things we're talking about tonight, knowing your worth. So knowing your value, understanding your worth. But Tracy, this has really been really, I'm really glad that you're able to make it on our show tonight. And I don't know, did you have any last comments, Tracy, that you want to tell people or advice or anything like that you want to?
I don't. I feel like I talk so much. I really just wish everyone just great success. I've been helped quite a bit by Latasha, and I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to talk about my business. So thank you for having me.
Sure, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Tracy. We're almost out of time. You told me something about Latasha earlier today. What did you say?
Oh, gosh, you're going to make me say that? I just see her Friday. Well, Latasha's focus with me, I think I might be one of her special people, is to get me to think strategically, because my thinking got me to where I am, which is, you know, I started a small business. I'm a small business owner, and I'm growing this small business. But now she's trying to get me to move out of the small business into the corporation, which means I now need to think strategically in a way that I have not. And I've been fighting her. I fight her all the time with that. She always wins. I fight long and hard. But she always wins. She always gets me to pivot in my thinking, and I'm just looking at her like, oh, that doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to do it.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Latasha is very knowledgeable. I'm really impressed, and I'm so glad. I think I could ask a better person to be my co-host, and I try to let her know that as much as I can. I really appreciate it. But it's time to say goodnight. And,
it is.
Yeah. And buy some of Tracy Gourmet salad dressings.
Thank you.
Yes. So thank you again, Tracy. I appreciate you sharing your story, your journey. And to everyone, we will see you next Tuesday on the Every Black Entrepreneur Show.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Against the wall, and I feel all hope is gone.